Thank you. Thank you guys for giving your offerings, giving missions dollars so that places like City on a Hill and the 33 other missionaries and mission organizations that we support with Northridge Church can happen, can function, can do amazing things all around, not just our community, but the world. That's why we have missions trips. That's why we take offerings and not only just tithes, but our offerings. That's why we encourage people to pray. Last week, there was a list of all our missionaries in the connection guide. Because we understand that missions is not just my thing or someone else's thing. Missions should be every Christ follower's heartbeat. Now, I understand some people can't go to Ukraine. I'm not going to Ukraine. That's okay. Other people are called to go to Ukraine. But we're all called to do something to further the gospel. Maybe that is giving of your finances, of your resources, like we just took the offering and our tithes. Maybe it's to pray. God's called you to be a prayer warrior for places like City on a Hill, other missionaries. Maybe God's actually poked you and prodded you and said, you need to go to City on a Hill. You need to be a part of Super Sox. You need to go to El Salvador, Ukraine, because I want to use you to minister not only in those places, but to change you. So when you come back, you can minister in your own home and in your workplace. And so please engage with that. If you're like, I don't know what a missions trip is, stop by out there. Talk to Todd. Go to Super Sox. It's right here in Marshwood. It's really easy. But be a part of something advancing the gospel and seeing how God wants to use you in other people's lives. Now I want to start today, or continue today, with a story. The story takes us all the way back to 1837. And it has to do with our message titled today, Slothfulness. Now listen, when we were handing out like who's going to preach what in the schedule, when the topic of slothfulness came up, I'll say right now, all of us on the teaching team were not like, ooh, ooh, me. All right? They all kind of looked at me like, you're the lead pastor, you take it. And I was like, oh, fine, okay, I'll do slothfulness. I was not super excited to do this. But then I was reminded of this story a couple weeks ago. And the story's about a little girl. And this little girl goes for a walk in the woods. And as she's walking in the woods, she comes upon a house. And it's a nice little house, but middle of the woods, no one else is around. And so she goes up to him, and she knocks on the door. No one answers. So she does a normal thing. She knocks again. No one answers. And so she does a maybe not so normal thing. And she opens it up to see what it's like inside. She walks inside, and man, right on the kitchen table is three bowls of food. And these bowls of food, it just happens to be her favorite type of porridge. And so she sits down at the first one, takes a bite, and she, too hot. Bite of the second one, too cold. The third one, though, it was just right. And she gobbled that up, and she finished that bowl of porridge. Now, like any normal little girl, after you get a full meal of your favorite porridge, you're kind of tired. And so she looks over in the living room, and there's three chairs in the living room. So she walks over and sits in the first chair, and the first chair is kind of big. She's kind of awkward. She can't fit in it. Second chair, a little smaller, but still too big. Third chair, ooh, this is just right. And she snuggled her butt right up in there, and then all of a sudden, it breaks, collapses. She falls on the floor. And now with a bruised ego and tailbone, she's still tired. And so she's like, I'm just going to check out what's upstairs. So she walks upstairs, and she gets upstairs, and there's, lo and behold, three beds. She lays in the first one. The first one's just rock hard. I mean, way too hard. She can't get comfortable. Second one, she climbs under the covers. Too soft. She's kind of like sucked into the bed. You can't sleep on that one. And the third one is perfect. Just right. She snuggles in, falls fast asleep. Well, that's when three bears who live in the home arrive back at the domicile. They walk in the door and they realize someone's been eating my porridge. And Mama Bear goes, mine too. And Baby Bear goes, wait, someone's been eating my porridge and it's all gone. And that's when they notice the living room. In the living room, they notice that someone's been sitting in their chair. As a matter of fact, Baby Bear's chair is obliterated on the floor. And so they lumber upstairs, and upstairs, Papa Bear's really mad because someone's been laying in his rock hard bed. And Mama Bear looks and goes, and someone's messed up my covers. I mean, they've been sleeping in my bed. And Baby Bear goes, me too. Matter of fact, she's still in it. And at that, Goldilocks wakes up. realizes there's three hungry bears staring her down, and she bolts out of there and gets out of there as fast as humanly possible and runs away, never to come back again. Now, as I was preparing for this message today, I noticed that the bear is the animal that's most associated with the sin of slothfulness. I think it's kind of weird, though, because it was Goldilocks that was slumbering. It was Goldilocks that was lazy. It was Goldilocks that was vandalizing and destroying property and stealing food, and yet it's the bear that we consider the lazy one. The bear that we consider slothful. Now, I get it. Bears historically get a bad rap. They hibernate for 5 to 7 months out of the year. They're kind of slow and methodical, and they meander when they're looking for food. Personally, I think they get a bad rap at being lazy. Honestly, I think they're kind of smart. Like, they're a big animal. They got to eat a lot of food. Why would I waste energy chasing something down when I can just take my time, forage, get what I need? I mean, consider yourself. How hurried do you guys get to shove food in your mouth? And consider a bear is like, I don't know, anywhere between like 5 and 8 times as big as you. Okay? So, I mean, if you were that big, maybe you would take your time, meander, slowly try to find your food, not waste energy. In fact, I'm kind of mystified by this fable of Goldilocks and the three bears, because a bear can run 3 times as fast as a human. And so if I'm a bear and I see Goldilocks in my bed and she leaves, I'm chasing her down, I'm gonna eat her because she ate my porridge. I'm gonna eat her. I'm 3 times faster than her and I'm gonna eat her. I don't know why the fable stopped short and didn't show them eating Goldilocks, because I totally would have done that. A bear is not slow. A bear is not, well, from this story at least, not lazy. Matter of fact, in this story, Goldilocks is the lazy one. I think we should put a human picture on today's message. Like, honestly, if we're going to talk about slothfulness, let's just put a human up there, because we are way more slothful than a bear ever is. Now, I get it. Some of you are like, I'm glad you put your picture up there, Pastor, because I am not lazy. You don't understand. My schedule, I am super busy. I don't even have time to think about being lazy, let alone actually be lazy. I am not slothful at all. And I'm glad you think that, because I thought that too. But slothfulness is much more than laziness. Ecclesiastes 10:18 says, through sloth, the roof sinks in. Through indolence, the house leaks. Indolence is a fancy word for avoiding activity. See, many times we think that if we do nothing, then nothing bad will happen to us. But here's reality. The very opposite of that is true. If we do nothing, guess what? Bad can still find us. Matter of fact, if we do nothing, then we get paranoid. And through our paranoia, we begin to struggle. We begin to sin. And then what happens is we end up not doing anything, kind of hanging back, and all of a sudden what we thought we were avoiding, the bad stuff, the sin, actually becomes our sin, because now we're slothful and we're not doing anything. See, what makes slothfulness different than the first three sins that we went over, pride, anger, greed, is those are all sins of commission. See, a sin of commission is something that we commit, something that we do against God. It's going out and doing something. But slothfulness is a sin of omission. It's the opposite. It's leaving something out. It's not doing what God calls us to do. And so this is what makes slothfulness not only different, but a little tricky. See, sloth is the desire of ease. It even goes so far that we will desire the easy road at the expense of the known will of God. It's excessive laziness, a failure to act or to even utilize our talents or our time or our treasure. See, a slothful person is unwilling to do what God wants because of the effort that it takes to do it. Now, I gotta admit, as we were sitting around as a creative team, like figuring out who was gonna preach which message and stuff, none of us wanted this one. But when it came to me, I thought, all right, fine. Like, if there's any sin I don't struggle with, it's this one. I'm a super busy guy. The adjective lazy has never been attributed to me. I've never been called lazy. I'm busy all the time. If there's one sin that I could confidently speak on, it'd be this one, because I don't struggle with it at all. So I spent a couple weeks digging into it, really understanding it, really praying, God, what's this look like? What's this at? I am officially convicted of the sin of slothfulness. I will tell you right now, it is, if not the biggest one that I struggle with, it is really stinking close. And I thought that I didn't struggle with it at all, because I used to think slothfulness was just being lazy, that it just affected like my physical body, how I worked, what I did, but it's so much more. Slothfulness is not just a sin of the physical body. It's a sin that affects our mind. It's a sin that affects our spirit, our relationships. Matter of fact, in the book called Hit List by Brian Hedges, he defines the sin of slothfulness with four characteristics, and he kind of poses it as questions. And I was walking through this, and I was getting more and more convicted. And the first question is this. If you think you're here today and you're like, I don't struggle with this at all, answer this question. Am I careless? Now, I get it. We all need rest, okay? Not all of us are meant to operate on 4 hours of sleep and work crazy hours. But my question is, has our rest turned into negligence? There's a big difference between getting rest and being negligent. Have you increasingly used the words, I don't care, while at the same time decreasing the effort you give? Okay? Because anytime we start saying more I don't cares and start putting less and less effort, guess what? The sin of slothfulness is taking over, is creeping in, and is creating a void that the sin loves to dig into, grab onto, and be a part of. Sloth can itself manifest in our attitude of irresponsibility. And so before you think, I don't struggle with this, ask yourself the question, am I careless? And if you're like, no, I'm super careful. Oh, how about this question? Am I unwilling to act? How many of you procrastinate? No, raise your hand, I won't do it. Do you procrastinate? Okay, do you put stuff off? Listen, if we're unwilling to act, we can't expect the things that we need to do to get done. All right, students, listen, homework, okay? It ain't gonna do itself. When you procrastinate and you leave it off, even college students, I know you're just getting back from college. Okay, I learned a hard lesson first semester of college. Didn't do any of my homework. Guess what? Didn't do so well. Procrastination. And unwilling to act. Now, before you think I'm just picking on kids, okay, adults, parents, big kids will call you. Are you procrastinating on a conversation you need to have with your kids? Maybe with someone at work? You know what? It's just easier not to have that conversation. I won't do it. I'll procrastinate. I'll do it later. Maybe I'll do it later. Nah, I won't do it. Or how about this? Is the Holy Spirit poking you, prodding you, shoving you to do something and you keep, no, I'm not going to pray for that person. No, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to tell that person that God loves them. No, I'm not going to go out of my way and spend a little extra time with them. No, you don't understand. I got to get gas. I got to get home. Okay? Because something's happened at 8. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to make it up right now. Have you ever had that? Where you know God's pushing you to do something and you just, no, I am not going to do it. Or you're like, no, I won't disobey God. I'll do it later. Okay, listen, I'll do it later. God knows. He knows the past, the present, and the future, friends. Okay, you can't lie to him. Procrastination. Am I unwilling to act? Maybe you're like, no, I'm good. I am not procrastinating. How about this? Do I do everything with half-hearted effort. See, sometimes we have so much on our plate that what happens is we're doing good things, but none of those good things are done with excellence. See, there is an art to saying no. Now, not saying no in the name of carelessness, but saying no in the name of devotion to God and all that God has called you to. You can say yes to a lot of the wrong things, and then everything gets done with half-hearted effort. God wants us to say no to the things that he's not called us to so that we can say yes to everything he has called us to. How many of you don't just hear the words, but you say the words, that's good enough. That's okay. Well, that'll do. Friends, partial obedience is still disobedience. That's good enough. I mean, God doesn't expect perfection, so I'm just gonna, barely do it. Stop justifying your half-hearted effort. Welcome to the sin of slothfulness overtaking your life. Now, this last one, this is one that I was gonna leave off, but when you're convicted of something, you can't just leave it off because maybe God's convicting you because he also wants to convict others. Am I discouraged in the face of every difficulty? Listen, I don't have to tell you, life is hard. Life is difficult. And there is nowhere in life, there is nowhere even in Scripture, in the Bible, written by God himself through the inspired word of people that we get to read and tangibly look at every single week. Not even in there does it say that our life is going to be easy. But see, discouragement comes because we fear that our current or our past difficulties, for some reason, could be our future. So what happens? We just stop willing the future to happen because I don't like my current, I don't like my past, and I fear that this stuff that I don't like could somehow be my future. So you know what? I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit right here. I will do nothing except be discouraged that I'll never get through this. Now, I know it sounds kind of silly, but that's what we're doing when we face every difficulty, when we face it with pessimism and discouragement. Now, I get first service, my wife's sitting in the back, and she just had the biggest smile. She's just smiling because I know she was like, oh, this is so you. I let her read it. We were traveling yesterday, and she read through my message notes, and she got to that part, and she just looked over, and she goes, just nodded her head, and I'm like, I know what part you're at. I know exactly what you're doing right now. See, this is me. I too often let fear of my current difficulty or my past difficulty discourage me from even thinking about doing something in the future, because what if the difficulty follows me? See, acknowledging that difficulties will continue is good. But understanding that Christ will help us through those difficulties is what allows us to move forward. And so I want to ask you this morning to reevaluate your struggle of the sin of slothfulness. I talked to Pastor Aaron earlier this week, and he said, you know what? Slothfulness is so bad because comfort is king in our life. See, comfort is the avoidance of anything that could possibly be uncomfortable. That includes the struggles and the sufferings of life. But great, Pastor. Okay, so I struggle with it. Boom, sign me up. Now, what do we do about it? And this is the only reason that I was able to get up here this morning and be able to teach this, is because I've understood that God doesn't just good luck with that sin. He gives us a discipline to work through it. But see, the sin of slothfulness is hard because the first step in attacking the sin of slothfulness is to understand that the biggest battle is actually identifying it in the first place. See, the very sin of slothfulness itself resists being identified. Because if we don't know it's sin, then guess what? We don't have to deal with it. We can avoid it. We can be lazy with it. Okay, I didn't know, officer. All right? You know, when you talk to your kids, mom and dad, I didn't know. And I'm like, no, not an excuse. Okay, you just should know that you can't grab the cat by the tail and fling it off the porch, okay? The I don't know excuse doesn't work here, but that's what slothfulness is. We can claim ignorance. Well, I didn't know. I couldn't do it. All of a sudden, we've literally committed the sin of slothfulness by not identifying that it's sin in our life. God calls us to persevere. That's the discipline he gives us to beat the sin of slothfulness. And he's given us tools to beat it. See, Hebrews 12:4 says that we haven't struggled to the point that Jesus did. We haven't struggled to death. And so if you are alive, there's hope. If you're alive, that means you haven't given up yet. If you're alive, then Jesus gives you hope, like Romans 5 tells us what embracing instead of avoiding suffering will do. Romans 5, verse 1 says this: therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace. Peace in this case meaning a non-hostile relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into grace, in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope. Man, if there's one thing that it'd be nice to boast in, it would be hope, right? But this is the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but also glory in our sufferings. Listen, for some reason, I don't think the author of Romans here is like in my book, because he's saying here, we also glory in our sufferings. What? No one, yay, I'm so excited to be suffering right now. This is where it gets good, though. We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Romans 5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit with who has been given to us. Friends, perseverance is the first step to moving towards hope. We have to be willing to do something in the midst of and even through our suffering. We can't just, oh man, I'm having a bad day. Man, I'm having a bad week. Man, this is just not my decade. Wherever you're at, if you just sit and stew in it, if you give up hope, then guess what? The inevitable is you'll never see perseverance. You'll never see good character. And hope will be far from you. See, in the midst of suffering and struggle, we don't cling to suffering. We cling to Jesus in our suffering. I understand it gets hard. Then keep going. I understand that failure is rough. Well, guess what? Try again. See, Scripture gives us a map, literally a map. And it begins with suffering and struggling. It's in that God wishes to raise us up, maybe by using other people, maybe by using just his grace, but always by using our attitude of not wanting to give up, because that's how we persevere. And it's in that attitude of perseverance. It's in that attitude. Maybe you're still struggling and the suffering's still going on, but it's in that I can do it, I'm not going to give up attitude, that he gives us his character. And his character is good. And when we have good character, that's what produces hope. Now, I get it. A lot of you are sitting here today, and you're like, listen, I am suffering. I am struggling. I'm stuck down here. But I really wish I could have here. I want hope. Well, guess what? If suffering, struggle produces perseverance, which produces good character, which produces hope, and hope's what I want, then we can work backwards. If you want hope, then ask God for his character. To not to be understood, but to be in you. And if you have his character, then you can't give up on it. You must persevere. You can't say, you know what, God, this week I'm going to take off. I don't really feel like chasing after you. I don't really feel like working on your character in my life. I don't really feel like it. I'm just going to, you know what? I'm just going to procrastinate. I'll do that later. No, if you want God's character because you want hope, then you always persevere. You never give up. But oftentimes, the beginning of not giving up is going to be birthed out of struggle and out of suffering. And so stop just asking God to take the suffering and the struggling away. Begin to walk in perseverance. Now, don't just walk in perseverance, because then you're going to get the character and you're going to be like, oh, wait, I forgot to ask God for the character. And that's why we talked about over communion. That's why when we find ourselves in a struggle for sin, we need to pray like it's all up to God's grace to save us. But then we need to work like it's all up to us practicing his disciplines to save us. It's not one or the other, it's both. And so if we're sitting in the sin and we're struggling and we're suffering, don't give up, because through perseverance produces character, which produces hope. I saw a quote just this past week, actually, someone tweeted it, and I never follow Twitter, and I happened to look at this, and it says, and it comes from a graffiti artist of all people. His name is Banksy. He's kind of like popular, apparently. He says, if you get tired, learn to rest, not to quit. Man, is this not a description of a relationship with Jesus? When we are in our suffering and our struggling and we just want to give up, what if we just rested and we persevered and we saw good character become who we are and we got hope in situations that we never thought hope possible? Friends, don't let the lie, the sin of slothfulness, keep you complacent. Keep you just stewing in your suffering and your struggling. Don't give up, because slothfulness is dangerous. Matter of fact, it's as dangerous for someone who's been a Christian for a day or a week as it is for someone who's been a Christian for a decade or half a century. In fact, if you're a Christ follower, and any of those four questions that I read, if you even said a little tiny yes to any of them, then I pray, like we did in communion, that you would examine yourself. Ask yourself, am I careless? Am I unwilling to act? Do I do everything with half-hearted effort? Am I discouraged in the face of every difficulty? Even a tiny yes welled up in you, I want you to know, don't give up, because Jesus never has and never will give up on you. Don't give up on hope. Don't give up on hope. The discipline of perseverance is the only way to fight against slothfulness. So when you identify it, when you name it, then you can ask for God's grace to cover it. And you can work the discipline of not giving up. At this time, I'm going to ask our prayer team members, some of our staff, to come up front. We're going to close in a song. A song on not giving up, not going back. I know some of you were here today and you were like, slothfulness, psh, got this, not a struggle, not for me. You're like, of course, that's a bear. I would never put my picture up there. I know that the Holy Spirit has moved in many, maybe a lot of your lives today and convicted you. I pray that when we sing this song, that you would examine yourself. Maybe so much of you that you would need someone to pray with you. Don't be afraid. We'd love to pray with you, pray over you, that God would bring healing through this. And so would you stand with me as we sing this song, as we pray and we ask the Lord to help us never give up.